Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Now there are three things which everybody who is associated with this ministry, and that even includes those who are not necessarily attenders but somehow listen, that I would want them to do, and that would form the bedrock of their success. Just three things. I've spoken about them at different times, but I want to put them together just as a way of reminder. Three things. Now, when I talk about success, I mean being better today than you were yesterday. I mean going from strength to strength, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. I mean perpetual, continual improvement in your life, in your walk with God, in your understanding of God. That's what I call success. Now, that means success is not a destination. It is actually a journey. It's a process. And it stops only when you pass on to the other world. So at no one stage do you stop growing in your knowledge of Him and your understanding of Him and growing in your faith and everything about you. So there are three things, and I'm going to go through them very fast. The first one, and I've spoken about this so many times before, and I'm going to speak about it again, is the first and the foremost is you have to know conclusively and definitively God's will for your life. Not as a gamble, not as a presumption, but as something you know definitely. You have to know the purpose for which you are on this earth and what exactly God wants you to do, what gap you are supposed to plug in this earth. Now, that is something you are going to have to go and discover on your own. Now, it might not come immediately. It actually never does come immediately. But once you take the first step into it, the other steps come conclusively and it becomes clear. That's what the scripture says in Proverbs 4:18, when it says the path of a just man is like the morning sun, which becomes brighter and brighter until the perfect day. So when the sun comes out in the morning, it's a bit hazy, but you can see a little. But until it gets to midday when it's clear. Now that's how it is. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter until the perfect day. Now, that's what it is about knowing the will of God. When you start somewhere, and you know, you might even know generally, and you don't know specifics. But as you grow along, you get to know specifics, and you become convinced that is exactly what you're supposed to do. Now, that would form all the bedrock of one of the main things, that all the bedrock of success. I've spoken about that, of course, here before. But let's read from Colossians chapter 1, starting from verse 9. It says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it. Now, previously, before this, he was talking about Epaphras, who he had sent to go and find out the state of the church in Colossae. And he came and told him that they are strong, they have matured, they walk in faith and in love. And then Paul says, as when I heard this about you, that you've gotten to a certain stage. He says, for this reason, since we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In other words, having known that now you've matured to a certain level, the next thing I pray for you is that you're filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, that's a very important prayer. And now, if you really want to have effective prayers, apart from praying in tongues, of course, is you look at the prayers which Paul prayed for the church and pray those prayers about yourself, because those are prayers from the Holy Spirit. Okay? Every time you see Paul saying, I prayed for you that this, also you get that prayer and pray it for yourself, because that was Spirit-inspired prayer. So he's saying, inspired by the Spirit, that I prayed for you that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Then he goes on to say here, five things that happen when somebody is walking in the will of God. And these things can only happen when you are walking in the will of God. He says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, that is one, being fruitful in every good work. That is the second. Being fruitful in every good work. That's the second. The third one, he says, increasing the knowledge of God. Now, I notice that your knowledge of God increases when you are in His, where He put you to be. If you are in ministry and you are supposed to be in business, your knowledge stands. You don't know Him at all. Because for you, He comes, He presents Himself to you as a businessman. Okay? Because that's what He expects you to be. That's what He called you to be. So He's presenting Him, you know, that side of Him. And if you do not approach Him there because somehow somebody convinced you only serve God in ministry, then you miss out on Him. So He says, then the Father, and strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. You long ago used to call that anointing. You are anointed because you are in a certain area, which is your area. Okay? Now the anointing does not come to you when you are somewhere else. It comes to you when you are exactly where God's will is. Now He says, and then He says, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Now the one thing about being in the will of God is you can go through so many things which are not good and you withstand them because you're sure you're doing the will of God. Now if you're not, if you're gambling, then you don't have the sort of patience and long suffering. You don't have the ability to endure things like you did. Remember the story in the New Testament of Paul? When you're supposed to go and he wanted to go and preach in Asia, and the Spirit of God told him not to go and preach in Asia. Then he was, you know, he says in the visions of the night, a man from Macedonia appeared to him and told him, please come to us. So he perceived that was what was the will of God. So the next day he prepared and went to Macedonia. And the first place, the first Macedonian city he went to was Philippi. And that's where he was beaten up seriously. That's where he cast out a demon from a girl who was a fortune teller. And he was beaten seriously and thrown in prison. Now, when those things happen to you when you're not sure you're supposed to be there, it's different from when you're sure you're supposed to be there. Because there is a certain energy that you get when you know that I am here by the will of God. So you're not shaken at all. And so, you know the story of the Philippian jail and all that. So he says, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Now, for this reason, since I heard of this, I do not cease to pray for you that you do be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, I'll tell you, the first step you take towards knowing His will for your life will set you free from so many things, because I'll tell you, a majority of Christians in Christendom are just one piece of advice away from going in a totally different direction. So today, he's in business, perhaps doing something, some kind of, you know, import business. Then tomorrow, somebody comes and tells him, you know, there is money in farming. Then he goes, now he's a farmer. Then the next day, somebody comes and tells him, you know, now forex trading has money. Then they go. Now, when you are like that, you are going to waste your life. You'll grow and grow and grow, and not you'll be a total waste of time, because you'll see your years passing, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and you're stagnating because you've not been filled with the knowledge of His will. Now, when you get to the place where you know what you're supposed to do, somebody is not going to come and tell you there's money in this, and you jump and run, because you know what you're supposed to do. You know where your path is, where your lane is, so you stick there. Now, that is the beginning of maturity. The actual beginning of maturity. Just knowing that, no, that's not for me. You know, but you know, there is money. Yeah, I know there is. It's good. Go and get it. It's not for me. You know, now there is gold deals. Yeah, go and get money in gold. It's not for me. I know where my money is going to come from. I know what God's will for my life is. So now, just that separates you from about, I can tell you this, almost about 90% of Christians who are still shaking. That's what the scripture says. It doesn't say 90%. Don't expect me to quote that. But where it says that He gave gifts to men, Ephesians 4:11. To some He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He says that for equipping of the saints, so that they are not tossed to and fro by every wind. You see, they are stable. They are not tossed to and fro. And that's the whole purpose of it. It says, by every wind of doctrine, somebody comes and, you know, introduces some kind of new doctrine, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Now, when the enemy knows that you have not yet concretized your path, and you don't yet know what you're supposed to, he is always going to send for you those people. I'm telling you, one day they will be telling you about gold. Then you run. Then you hit your head on the wall. The other day, they tell you about something else. Once the devil knows you don't know, he will keep on sending you people until you're filled, or until you start praying that you're filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, when he comes with all those things, he finds you steady. You are unmoved by, you know, other things. There is this, there is that. People are doing this. People have moved into this. Now this has money. There are so many people who are caught up in that. And they kind of get even. And the people for whom it doesn't work are the ones who go convincing others to do it, so that it also doesn't work for the others. They become evangelists of something that has not worked for them. I don't know why people who somehow fail become bigger evangelists than those who succeed. Anyway, so that's the one thing. That's one thing. The second one, I actually said it last time, last Friday. The second one is separate a period of at least 1 hour every day to do spiritual exercises. At least 1 hour. At least 1 hour every day to do spiritual exercises. Try to be, I don't want to say try, be consistent 1 hour every day. Now, what do I mean by spiritual exercises? I mean, not just prayer. Spiritual exercises include prayer, they include meditation, they include proclamation, and they include praise and thanksgiving. All those are spiritual exercises. So now when you go to pray, it's not just prayer. It is prayer and meditation and proclamation. What do I mean by proclamation? Proclaiming what the word of God says about you, about yourself. So when you go and you're praying, and you have to keep on speaking the word of God, what the word of God says about you to yourself. Okay? And putting yourself I. You see, yeah? So let's say you go to pray, and you pray in tongues and pray in tongues, but at every interval, you remind yourself that I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I used to conclusively wake up every morning and declare that thanks be to God who daily loads me with benefits. Who does this? Who does all the things which the Bible says about, you know, a believer? I say them and keep on saying them and keep on saying them. That's proclamation. Okay? In different areas. It can be something about healing if that's your need, or something about blessing if that's your need, on top of prayer. But then, on top of speaking, proclaiming what you are, I am a winner. Thanks be to God who daily leads me in triumph in Christ Jesus, and through me diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Now, all those things which the scripture says about you, that's one of the prayer, you know. Then the meditation. When you're praying in tongues, let your mind be active in the direction you want to see your life taking. In other words, it's you're not accomplishing too much if you go and pray in tongues and you let your mind wander all over the place, what your day has been up to, you know, what you're going to eat and what, and all, you know, and you really let your mind wander. It's not as effective. Now, when you're praying in tongues and you can gather your mind. Now, for some people, it's a lot more difficult. I remember when I started doing this, when I got to know how important it is for me to meditate when I'm praying. And I started trying to get my mind together. It would take me like 30 minutes to pray myself out of the flesh. Because you've been doing this, doing that, watching football, what? So it would take me like 30 minutes to get myself, my mind settled. Now where I have control over it. And now when I'm praying in tongues, I'm projecting it to where I want to be. and to something, a place where I want to be, something I want to see, and something I'm building. In other words, I'm not just praying, I am constructing. So I'm constructing a life for myself in my imagination as I'm praying in tongues. Very, very powerful. Now you do that and you start seeing things which nobody sees. And you start talking about things which you are going to do, which nobody thinks you have the ability to do. But you've somehow seen them inside you, and it is so powerful because it's you're convinced of it. And now that's the real meaning of faith. It means you construct something of this is what I want, this is where I'm going to be at this time, this I'm starting this business, this is how it's going to be. By this time it's going to spread throughout the country. I'm going to do this. And you're doing seeing it with your imagination. With your meditation. Okay? And then you're praying in tongues. And you do that consistently. Now, there's nothing here I'm telling you that I haven't told you before. I'm just putting it together for you. Now, these three will form the absolute bedrock for success. Absolute bedrock for success. You cannot fail when you do this. Okay, you can fail yourself somehow. There are other things you can do. But these things, know the will of God, go and pray and meditate. Okay? Don't pray from where, don't use your tongue to speak about your situation where you are now. Use your tongue to speak about where you want to go, where you're going. Speak yourself there. Put yourself in that place before you ever arrive there. Now, that's the power of the time we are living in. That's why it was the spirit of, Christ, the spirit of prophecy. Where it says what? The testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Here, everything has to be done futuristically. If you wait for an event to happen, you're too late. If you wait for something to happen, you're too late to manipulate it. It has already happened. So now you're going to start praying about it, from a position of defeat. But if you can go and start manipulating the situation before you ever get there and say, this is how I want this thing to be. I am going for an interview. And you go and envision the people are going to, and you determine how you want that interview to go from within your prayer room, and you determine the whole thing from there. And the first time it might not necessarily be pan out the way you determined it, but when you practice this, everything in the spirit works through practice. It's a craft. When you practice it, it becomes a lot easier for everything. You wake up in the day and I'm going to do this and this and this, and these people whom I need are going to be in office because I want them there. Nobody is going to go for a barrier today. I want them in office. No, but you can actually, so you look at it from before. Otherwise, you live your life like a normal person who does not live in this dispensation. You go and also they tell you, he went to the village. Now he did it. And time goes. So, that's the second thing. Okay? Praying with meditating. Spending at least 1 hour every day. Now, I read for you last time from Daniel chapter 6. Let's read there again. There's something I want to just emphasize, because it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Praise the Lord. Now you'd want to think that somehow things like that just happen. They don't. They don't, like I showed you. You see now, there are all these satraps. There are three governors. Daniel is one of them. Then the king says, I want to make you over everyone. And you are distinguished. You distinguish yourself among others. Okay? Praise the Lord. And I told you last time, when you go to what? To verse 10 of this same. It says, now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he He went home and in his upper room with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom before then. Now the devil would want to make you think that this custom has nothing to do with him being distinguished. They are one and the same. But the devil knows it. The reason you're distinguished and the reason the king wants to make you above is because of this practice. It's because you set time away, set some time to do what I've called spiritual exercises. And it's part of the whole thing. But you see, some Christians don't understand when you start getting into a place of success and this is happening, the other, and it's happening, the other, and happen. You don't know that it came from, you know, that time which you set aside. But you see, the devil, for him, he knows. Go back to verse 3. The devil knows. And he knows it so well that he would want to disrupt that custom. And he would do everything in his power to try and disrupt that custom. So one day you feel very tired. The other day, okay. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him above all the realm. Go ahead. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. First of all, let me tell you, you see, there is no way somebody can look for faults in you and they fail to find them. It has to be a spiritual thing where, like, God, there's something about you where, like, somehow everything you do seems to be right. And it comes from the other side, and the devil knows where it's coming from. And he does not target here. He targets there. That's what he's interested in, there where it comes from. Because he knows once he can cut you off there, here you become, is a food for him. So the governor and satrap sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error found in him. Go ahead, verse 5. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Now, these are not people just taking counsel among themselves. This is the enemy knowing exactly what he's doing. Go ahead. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to the king, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, the counselors, the advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions." Now the devil has said, if I can just stop him praying, 30 days I have him. For you, you tell you, I'm sick. Today I feel bad. Today, if you can just stop that process. He doesn't want you to stop completely. He says, just give me 30 days of not praying. After that, you can go and pray. Those 30 days are enough to bring you down properly. And so it's set up. And that's how the enemy works. Now, he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows the place where it all comes from is there. This Daniel is turning the entire kingdom and making it a kingdom of his God. Yet we are supposed to be serving the prince of Persia. But it comes from that place where he goes and prays 3 times a day. So he says, 30 days. Give me 30 days. That's enough. Anyway, verse 8. "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, when Daniel knew that he had signed the decree, now the thing is this, Daniel knew what the whole purpose of the decree was. Now, for you, in your wisdom, you could say, let me just chill for 30 days. These lions might be a bit tight. Let me chill for 30 days, and after 30 days, I'll go back. But that's enough. By the way, let me tell you, even 3 days, seriously speaking, when you've established a routine and it has been working for you, now the enemy knows that you're going to step into success after success after success. And there's nothing he can do because it has been constructed somewhere. So you wake up and you do your spirituals, you proclaim, you pray, you give thanksgiving, which is also very important, by the way. Prayer has to go with thanksgiving. So you thank God for everything he has done for you, and then you leave that place. Then you step out and go and do your work. And everything seems to be flowing, 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 flowing. Every paper of yours is signed quickly. Everything happens very fast and, you know, things like that. And then even you can forget that it comes from there. And the enemy would love for you to forget. But for him, he can't forget. So on some day, he'll pull up some stunt. Something has to do this. Something was, something happened. Usually, it's best, by the way, if you really want to be consistent, people usually do it late in the night. Because you have a lot more control overnight than you do over day. Okay? In the day, so many things can happen. At night, you have a lot more control over what happens at night. So, you stick to it. And you try as much as possible. Now, my point is this. If for some reason you fail, just get back immediately. Okay? Now, you might fail in the... You might not be as disciplined as Daniel, but get back immediately. Don't get discouraged and, you know, say that I missed a day or two. Just get back before it's too long. Don't give the devil 30 days. Don't even give him 1 week. Here, he wanted 30 days to mess up Daniel. By the way, you think it's a joke. If for those 30 days you stop, by that time all your favor has gone, everything were distinguished what? The next thing you realize, everything has vanished. And all came from there. Now, that's why it is extremely important for you to set aside a time. We live in a world that is hostile to us, but we are called to subjugate it, to bring it under subjection. And this is how we do it. We have to be in constant communication with the Lord. And that's the second thing. I'm almost finishing. Today we are just going to pray and, you know, and then we'll go. Now, the third thing is, I'll ask you a question. If we are doing business, let's say me and Ian here are doing business, and we are making profit, and I consume all my profit, I spend it on myself, and Ian gets all his profit and invests it. After 3 years, who is going to be better off? Ian, right? Yes. Now, that is the same with you and the way you pray. Now, when you are praying, do not pray from where you are, about where you are. Pray ahead of you. You remember what God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 13, verse 14? Remember what he said? Now the Lord spoke to Abraham after Lot had separated from him. Lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. Now, this is something that I have to struggle sometimes to teach people to look up from where they are. Because the enemy wants to surround you with problems which seem to be very urgent and need your urgent attention. And you always will be praying about current things. Something is happening. What I call putting out fires. There is a fire here, you put it out. There is a fire here, you put it out. And you never actually look up from where you are and see a bigger picture. Now, when somebody looks and sees the bigger picture, he is in control of the future. Now, he says, lift up your eyes and look from where you are and see something big. Now, when I learned this so many years ago, when I would see a problem that is urgent, calling for my urgent attention, I would immediately ignore it and look far ahead of it. Far ahead of it. So if the problem is rent, now, and they want rent now, or we are throwing you out, for me, I'll look out and say, I'm a property mogul. And I'm looking at the houses I'm on. Now, that sounds stupid, but that's how this works. If you learn how to do that, the first thing that happens when you project your mind forward, these immediate problems all vanish. And every time you want to get in faith, you try it one day. You try to get in faith and think big. Now I want to be a property magnate and so on. The minute you start even saying it, the minute you even say it, I can guarantee you, your landlord will call you, increase your rent, something like that. And so the landlord is the devil. He doesn't want you to think ahead. He wants you to think now. Because now imagine you think, and you see, even that's the travesty. Because imagine you're thinking about, now I'm paying rent. Now schools are starting. When did school start? This week. And now you're paying school fees. Then now you're paying this. Now you're moving from bill to bill to bill to bill. When are you ever going to pray about anything different? If you're always praying. You see, and now that's when if the enemy can tie you around that, you're finished. You're never going to live there. You put yourself there. Now that's why he says, lift up your eyes from where you currently are. Do not look where you are. At the point of your absolute weakness, lift up your eyes and see strength. Lift up your eyes and see big things. When there is nothing whatsoever suggesting that there is even any likelihood of you having them. Now that's what, when people start saying that and doing that, I fear. The other day I was talking with somebody, and he was telling me about some top businessman whom he wants to compete with. You know? And this guy, and so I thought he was just talking, because he's talking about like a very top businessman on this continent. So now usually when people start talking like that, I want to know, is he just talking? Or is there substance to it? So he told me, he started telling me everything about that man's business. He told me, you know, this man, he does this, this is how he started, he did this, 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 and this. But I'm going to be his competitor. But in the meantime, right now, as far as I know, he doesn't even have a car. But he's serious. Now, when I see someone like that, I take them seriously. I'm telling you, I take them seriously. Absolutely seriously. Because I know that they have landed on a secret, which is the biggest secret, like a major, major secret of how you construct something long before it ever happens. And you are not put off by your current situation. So now you mean you're telling me we are here, stood here taking a cup of coffee, which I am going to pay for right now. But you're going to compete with that guy. And you're serious. You're not joking. You're serious. And the basis of your thing is faith. Now, only a stupid person would say that, but for me now, that's the person I take very seriously. Now, I really take him seriously. And after that, I started looking at him in a certain way. Because I was talking with some guy who was with us there when he was there. And the guy told me, there's this gentleman who was coming for midnight prayer. So he met him. He had been walking. I don't think he had transport. He had been walking. And so he met him, and you know, he had that storm was up to here and what. So he met him and said, hey, where are you going? Let me give you a lift. This guy was driving. Let me give you a lift. So he sat in his car and said, as soon as he sat, this guy blacked out. So he drove. They reached somewhere in some upscale neighborhood where he had said he was going. That direction. So he woke him up and said, hey, wake up. I think we've reached where I'm supposed to drop you. Then the guy woke up and said, hey, by the way, that house, I'm going to buy it. And the other house, I'm going to buy it. And the other house, I'm going to buy it. Now, you should ask where he is now. Even if he bought those houses, he would not even have to, it would not even shake his pocket one bit. But that time, he didn't even have transport. You know, let me tell you, do not despise the things of God. When you learn that there is nothing that is here that is of value, when somebody is convinced of something inside him, there is nothing they cannot do. Once their imagination has caught on to something, there is nothing they cannot do. They have it in their grasp, and they are going to have it. And there is nothing by that can stop them from having it. That's what God said. You remember Genesis 11? When he said, when the people were building the Tower of Babel. And he said that these people, and you read it, start from verse 5. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. Verse 6. And the Lord said, indeed the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Now, go to, you get it from Okay. People is one and they have all the language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Nothing that they have imagined to do. Imagine God. He knows man. He knows men. And these are men who are challenging him, saying we are going to build a tower up to heaven. But he says, if they have imagined it, they are going to do it. That is God saying about men whom he created. He says, nothing they've imagined will be stopped. He had to change their language. So because if they've imagined it, and they've come and they have agreed that we are going to build a tower. You know, this tower, they built it. This was the first of the, you know, the place they built it was called, a place called Shinar. Okay? Which you will see also in the book of Daniel, where the tower, you know, Nebuchadnezzar put his statue. It's the same place. It's a place of resistance to God, where Nimrod built that tower. But they went there, and we had Babylon, you know, Babylon was. They went there, and they said, that was not long after the flood. And the men said, that in the case God wants to destroy us with the flood, we are going to build a tower which goes all the way up to heaven. So if he floods the earth, he will also have to flood himself before he floods us. That was the thinking. But you see, God says, nothing that they have imagined to do will be withheld from them. Now, when people start thinking, what limits a lot of people here is something is said and they look at it, give it a time frame. They give something a time frame. If it doesn't happen this month or the other month, then it's fake. No, that's not how you're going to be around for a while. Okay? So if somebody comes and says, like if I come and say now, as I'm saying, that the Lord is saying now it's time for ownership. We are supposed to own properties now. What I'm doing is trying to stir up your imagination. Not your pocket. You may not have the pocket to own nothing. But stir up your imagination. Now, when your imagination gets into that overdrive, there is nothing that can stop you. And when you start lifting up your eyes and seeing not from where you are, you're not walking, looking down, but you're lifting up your eyes and seeing yourself as owning properties and what. And don't give it time frame. The people who have those properties did not buy them in 1 year. And you might actually even get it, but don't give it a time frame. Just say, this is what the Lord has said. Now, this is what my imagination is going to attach itself to. And this is what I am going to imagine. And I am going to stick my imagination there. And now, I'm going to construct it. I'm going to build it. And nothing can stop me. Now, then you know how the power of God works in us, according to Ephesians 3:20. According to Ephesians 3:20. Please. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. How does that power work in us? Through our imagination. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you can think about. But the power has to work in you through your imagination. Now, those three things. Number one, know conclusively the will of God. Number two, set a time aside to do spiritual exercises, which I said are prayer, meditation, proclamation, and thanksgiving or praise. And then, never let your imagination build a dull picture. You see, I'll tell you, God gave you a blank canvas. You see, if you are an artist and they give you a blank canvas and you have the right to paint there anything that you want, that is what God gave you, your imagination. You can paint defeat, you can paint struggle, and you'll be there in struggle all your life. You can paint, you can stand from a position of struggle and paint wealth, and it is just a matter of time before it happens. Now, you see, these principles, they were set up by God in a way that, look at Abraham. You see, the child of promise. He gives birth to Ishmael, who is the child of energy. But the promise He says now, Abraham tells God, who is going to, you know, inherit my estate? Seeing that Eliezer, a servant born in my house, is going to inherit my estate. And God says, no, Eliezer is not going to inherit your estate. Somebody who is going to come out of your loins, your own son, is going to inherit your estate. Then he tells him, look at the stars. So shall your descendants be. Look at the sand. He used to stay on the banks of the river. He says, look at the sand. So shall your descendants be. Why is God telling him that? He's trying to stop his imagination. Because that's how even God created the world. He sat there and imagined how the world is going to be. Then spoke it into place. And then formed it. Now those are three different things. Three different things. You read Genesis 1:26. He says, let us create man in our own image. And so he made man in his own image. Genesis 1:26. But then when you read in Genesis 2, it says, then he got the dust of the earth. Now the word there is not create, it's formed. Although it also says create. But now he got the dust of the earth. Now was man there? Yes, he was there from Genesis 1:26. But he was not there. You see it? Now he was there, there was man, but there was no man. Now that's how everything is. Everything you want is somewhere in a certain state, but you have to bring it into this state the way God himself did. So now when he wanted to bring man whom he had made in Genesis 1:26 into here, he went and got the clay and molded clay into the figure of a man, and then he breathed into him. Then the Lord God formed man. I says he formed man of the dust of the ground. Not created. The man was already created in Genesis 1:26. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. In other words, God got man and put him in man. You see, eh? And then man became a living being. Able to inhabit the earth. The one before was not able to inhabit the earth because he didn't have a body. The body had to be formed from the dust of the earth. Now, that is how everything is. The whole world is made like, he first imagined it. There's going to be mountains and water and everything. Then he forms them. Then he speaks them. Then he forms them. He imagines them. Then he speaks them. Then he forms them. You understand? So you imagine what you want. Then you speak it when it is not there. Then now you go out and try to acquire it. So let's say what you want is a house. So you imagine it. So now your imagination is full of a house. Then you speak a house into being. Then the next thing, you go and start looking for a house to buy or something like that. Now that's the formation. So there is a process. Now everything comes in that, you know. Now without the imagination, and if you're living your life like an ordinary person, waiting for something to happen for it to actually register with you, then you're wasting your Christianity. Okay, not wasting it, you'll go to heaven. But that's not how it is. You have the creative power of God. Like, you are made in his image. So just like he created, you also have the ability to create. So you're telling Abraham, this child whom you are asking me for, you are going to create him using your imagination. Now imagine your descendants. So now imagine Abraham lying at night in the desert and looking up in the sky and seeing the stars, and then imagining those are his descendants. He's creating. Now, when he's finished imagining it and creating it, it superintends every natural law. Because it has been already created, it comes and takes over every natural law. In other words, whatever law that has to be broken for you to get what is in your imagination will be broken. The law of being 100 and not able to give birth will be broken. The law of your wife being 90 and not able to give birth will be broken. Because it's in your imagination. That child is there. It's just a question of delivery. Okay? You're not trying to create something that is not there. It is there. Now, when God... So I used to wonder, why didn't God just tell Abraham, okay, I've given you a child. Why does he make him? He is setting something for us. To know that anything you want can be created using the same principles. Anything. All you have to do is lift up your eyes from where you are. You're barren. You don't have a child. You think Eliezer is going to inherit your estate. God says, lift up your eyes and see descendants all over. See them. When you see them, they will come to where you are. Now, this is something that conclusively needs practice. Because you only have to start practicing it perpetually, all the time, for it to become a part of you, completely part of you. It's not something that comes naturally, because the natural thing is you wait for something to happen. The natural thing is, if I tell you it's time for ownership, the first thought that comes to your mind is, where am I going to get money? Isn't it? Yes. Now, that's why the scripture says, you alienate yourselves with your mind. You cut yourself off a big promise with your mind. It says that in Colossians chapter 1. You were alienated with your minds. Because as soon as I say something, as soon as I say, you're going to be a property mogul, your mind tells you, no, that's not for you. Because for you, where will you get the money? And now, suddenly, you've cut yourself off with your own mind. But you can take your mind aside and say, no, this has nothing to do with the mind. I am going to imagine it. And then you walk past your mind, imagine something which is not there, build it inside you, and then your mind has to give way and surrender. But see, the mind always wants, because how does the mind operate? The mind operates on what is possible, what has been done before, what is within your realm of accomplishment without too much struggle. That's what the mind does. Because for it, it deals purely with, calculations. So it sees that now you, where are you going to get, this thing? So the mind says no. And the mind is very, has rugezigezi, so to speak. It overrules everything. Something starts, the mind says not, echisoboka. I don't know, not possible. And now then you stay in the realm of the mind. But the mind, you're supposed to direct it, not it directing you. But the minute you say it's possible and you start imagining it, then it is being constructed somewhere and it will come to you at some stage, as surely as night follows day. Now that's but now getting used to putting your mind out of the way always, and do what Isaiah 55 says. What does Isaiah 55 say? It says, come and buy without money. It says, there where you were, come and buy without what? Come to the waters and you have no money. Come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You see, this kingdom you can buy without money. Who created money? Money is created by Bank of Uganda or whichever bank. Like, God does not deal in money. Praise the Lord. But you see, you've been brought to the way you're thinking money. Now, where am I going to get the money? There is a value above money which you can, and money will have to come and say, now, this is, So he says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you have no money. Come, buy and eat. But buy with what your mind tells you. Your mind has already alienated you. Yes, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, this is the word of lifting up your eyes from where you are always. Now, when whatever it is you're doing, whatever it is you set out to do, when you just do these three things, I'll say them again. Number one, you have to know exactly what the will of God is. At the beginning, you might say, the will of God for me is business. But eventually, you have to tie it down, what kind of business and so on. So, but you grow into that. It does not come automatically at the beginning. Then after you've known the will of God, you have the confidence to do so many things. After that, then you set out a time. And it just becomes part of your lifestyle that I have to wake up at some or whatever time it is and get something done, do my spirituals, proclaim, speak the word of God about myself, say the things that are in the scripture about me, say them about myself, and believe them. Say them and say them and say them and say them until I believe them. Until I speak myself past my, you know, timidness. If I am timid, I will speak myself into confidence. You can speak yourself into confidence by just repetition. You're scared, but you psych yourself up using the word of God. It's not psych, it's the word of God. And you become bold just by the word of God. You keep on saying it, you cannot say these things for 1 or 2 or 3 months and you don't start feeling them. And when you start feeling them, you're already there. You're getting there, you understand? You start saying, I remember people start saying sums of money. At this person, this thing costs this much. And previously, they would say something costs, let's say, a certain billion shillings. And you're like, wow. Like it looks like, wow. Then you go and meditate. The next time they say the same amount of money, certain billion shillings, it looks like it's not all that. You still don't have it. But what has changed is your heart has grown. Your spirit has grown. Now you're getting closer to being there. You understand? If you're not seeing it as wow, but now you're saying, okay, I don't have it, but yeah. Says 5 billion shillings. Yeah, okay. Yeah. You're not moved. Now, somewhere, somebody will say, there's somebody I told about some guy who went and got how much, 3.8 billion shillings. Say, what? Now, just go and meditate. Because there are people who can write in the boots of their cars. And then they park their car there and go and drink. But for you, you're like, wow. Because you just haven't lifted yourself up. You've not used your... Now, a time will come if you actually take time to meditate, where you're not that moved by it. You still may not have it in your pocket, but you don't feel as if, wow. Now, and when you're... Anyway, I would say some of you even 100 million already are like, wow. Like the Chisobok. What? 100 million. So, we should have sent you to go and check the money. What? In the speaker's house. And, some people would get blind just by seeing volts and volts of what? I'm not saying they were there. Apparently, they were not there. There was just vaults of witchcraft. But there was no money. But anyway. Praise the Lord. But you see, now when you use your imagination productively and grow, let yourself grow inside. Like, that's the first sign. Things which seem to be so big cease being so big, even when you don't have them. But that shows you are getting closer to having them. Now, if you continue, you'll eventually have them. Anyway, those are the three things I wanted to say. Now I've finished preaching. Now we are going to pray. Now you see, all those were just reminders. Okay? There's nothing I've said there that I haven't said before. But they are reminders, and they are very important reminders. Because when you conclusively live your life like that, that will be the bedrock of your success. You'll move from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from faith to faith. You'll be in perpetual improvement. Every day will be better than the previous one. Growth will be a part of your life every day. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for that? How many people have things they are starting? Stand up. You come, we pray for you. You first sit down, the rest of you. You come. Here, come here. Now, Linda here, let's even read the scripture. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, I think verse 14 or something. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Okay? And says, go ahead. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Praise the Lord. Now what we are going to do here is what is called the prayer of faith. Okay? You see, when somebody is sick, they can have the faith themselves to get healed, and they believe God for their own healing. But sometimes, when a collective group of people puts their faith together, it's a lot easier. This is what it says here. The prayer of faith will save the sick. So now, we are going to pray for Linda, and I want you to believe. We are going to do it some sort of intercessory prayer. Scripture. So lift up your hands, everybody, and speak health into our body and rebuke sickness in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Linda. We thank you for the health in her body. We thank you because you have promised that the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And therefore, in the name of Jesus, we speak healing upon the body of Linda. In the name of Jesus, every part of her body, in Jesus' name, every complication, every disease, everything is healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, just pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Zikrebazito rosharabazata roshan. Rora kira sito roshon no morosante le sila harazanta. Rokmus intal shokomozoto roshokomozoto roshan. Remazito roshokomozoto roshokomazita roshan. Remazanta roshokomozoto roshan. Remazito rosito roshila morazan. Continue praying in tongues, continue praying in tongues. Remazito roshokomozoto roshokomazan. Don't get tired, continue praying as anybody else who is sick, who needs prayer. Continue prayer. We're still interceding here. What's your name?
Chara.
Eh?
Chara.
Chara. What are you suffering from?
I have ulcer and omorot.
Ulcer and what?
Omorot.
What is that?
That's problem. Hemorrhoid.
Eh?
Hemorrhoid.
Eh? Hey, hemorrhoids, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so now you've had, eh? So come. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you because you have promised us that the prayer of faith will save the sick. And now we believe that Linda and... So what's your name?
Chara.
Chara. Linda and Chara are healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I speak health and wholeness upon in their bodies. In the name of Jesus, now the healing power of God, the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ reaches out to you and touches you in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, and reverses all damage from the root cause in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, and rebuke every spirit of sickness, spirit of infirmity, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke it. I rebuke you, spirit of infirmity. I command you to leave Chara and Linda, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. You ulcers, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to dry up right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord, because by Jesus' stripes we are healed, and Linda is healed. Amen. Okay, Those who are starting up, stand up again. Those who are starting. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because your hand reaches out to each and every startup here, each and every business that is starting up, even those that have started up and are in the process of taking root. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because your spirit makes a way, makes a room, and brings these people to a place of dominion. And I thank you, Father, because these people set out to reconcile different aspects, different areas to you, O Father. And your spirit goes with them in the name of Jesus. Now I speak a blessing upon each and every one of them. I speak a blessing, I speak a rooting, an absolute rooting, that they are rooted and grounded in the name of Jesus, and that they see success in a way that only you, Father, can give. Now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, because all competitors who are not worshippers of God are confounded and are rooted out, because we are setting the kingdom of darkness, we are pushing the kingdom of darkness away, and we are planting the kingdom of God. Wherever it is, these people are going to start their businesses. They go as representatives of the kingdom of God, and they stand there with the deployment of the Spirit of God to transform lives, to transform areas, to transform different ministries in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, and may the blessing of God be upon each and every one of you. Say amen.
Amen.
And may you be rooted and grounded. Say amen. And may you root out everything that God has not planted. Because the time is now where you root out everything that the Almighty God has not planted will be rooted out. Now you go to root out and to plant. To root out evil and to plant good. For the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Oh, God bless you.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.